just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters and powered by Bill Curry Ford. Season 6, Episode 53. In my podcast leagues, we are already 1 week into the playoffs. In my foundation league, the playoffs begin this week. I think the playoffs begin this week or are 1 week in for all of you listening that are playing in season-long leagues to get everything done. By week 17, as I have said for years, anyone who is still playing season-long fantasy football with the last weekend of NFL regular season games should find a new league or fire their league commissioner. You do not want to deal with potential meaningless week 18 games to end your championship in a season-long league. Email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Let's jump in. First, I want to review week 14 results of the top players. Here are overalls, and of course, I only deal with the three key positions in my league: quarterback, running back, and wide receiver slash tight end flex. They are evaluated together. I don't use mandatory tight ends. Tight ends are evaluated based on how many points they put up against other wide receivers. Dalvin Cook last Thursday night was overall 1 in week 14 and RB1. In my 21st century scoring settings, his 2-touchdown, 222-yard tandem performance, he touched the ball 28 times, was more than anyone else. So it was a Derrick Henry slash Jonathan Taylor, and even if we want to venture in there a couple of times this year, an Austin Eckler type performance, or that Leonard Fournette game against the Colts a couple of weeks ago. Josh Allen in a losing effort, but bringing the Bills all the way back from 24-3 down, only losing overtime to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, was overall 2. He was QB1. Tom Brady was overall 3, QB2. Allen and Brady, pretty solid at the top of the board in terms of the season-long numbers that I'll take a look at. Actually, I'm not going to do season-long numbers. I'm just going to do average for the last 4 weeks of games played. Aaron Rodgers, who heated up after a slow, first 20 minutes or so against the Bears, backing up his own the Bears claim with 4 touchdowns and 341 yards passing to be overall 4 and QB3. Rashad Penny, are we chasing points if we are rushing out to claim Penny this week? Insert your own Big Bang Theory joke there. But Penny was RB2 behind Dalvin Cook. Granted, it was against the Texans. 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. He touched the ball 17 times for the Seahawks in that performance against the Texans. Taysom Hill, who I grabbed and played for the last 2 weeks in the Foundation League for the rushing numbers, it paid off in a game, albeit against the Jets, as he put up 73 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. And not much in the passing department, but he didn't hurt himself as he did the previous week, where he threw 4 interceptions and a pick 6, which is a minus 10 total in my leagues. No interceptions, no pick 6s, just a modest 175 yards passing. James Conner continues to find the end zone for the Cardinals. Just 31 yards rushing, but 2 rushing touchdowns, caught 9 balls for 94, and has a pattern of catching balls with one hand and making plays in the open field for Arizona. There is some concern about Connor's workload with Chase Edmonds coming off the IR. That was not the case in the Monday night game. Davante Adams was wide receiver one. If it wasn't for that, I may not have won my podcast league playoff game against ABC Action News chief meteorologist Dennis Phillips. Adams with 121 yards receiving and two touchdowns, touching the ball 10 times in the Sunday night win against the Bears. Melvin Gordon returned, while Javonte Williams was also a productive running back. Gordon returning kept Williams' touches down. So Gordon put up 111 yards and two touchdowns against the Lions. Williams had 83 yards of tandem offense, two touchdowns in 16 touches of the football against the Lions, almost as bad. So we are seeing a pattern here where I have said opponent doesn't matter, play your best player. We just add to that, and the smart players already do this. A tiebreaker is if you have a player going against a shit team like the Lions, the Jets, or the Texans, yeah, you can make the case I want to get that guy in the lineup. Week 14 sort of proved that. Look at, let's see here. Look at what Rashad Penny did against the Texans. Look at what Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams did against the Lions. Look at what Taysom Hill did against the Jets. You have examples of that. But what I want to discourage you from doing, and why I've been bringing up how opponents are overrated all year, you don't sit a player that deserves to be in your starting lineup just because he's facing a tough defense, whatever numbers you want to use. But yeah, if you're looking to squeeze in a flex or, you know, tweak a plug or stream a quarterback, yeah, I get that. And these are examples. Opponents like the Texans, the Lions, the Jets, we could say the Jaguars as well. I mean, at what point does that team just quit on Urban Meyer? And it get worse than just what they lose, 20-0 to the Titans? That seems to be heading in that direction with the mess that Meyer has created for himself, and I'm enjoying every fucking minute of it because that douchebag deserves it. Justin Herbert put up another big performance, 275 yards and three touchdowns. He was one of the top five quarterbacks of the week. He was fifth behind Allen Brady, Rodgers, Hill. Roethlisberger, nice streaming option for some of you. Dennis Phillips used him against me. A lot of garbage time, but it put Pittsburgh in a chance to rally to force overtime in that Thursday night game. Najee Harris touched the ball another 23 times. That's going to be a guy who goes probably in the top five of running backs next year. I mean, if I had to give you right now top five running backs in next year's draft, in no particular order, Henry, Taylor, Harris, I guess McCaffrey, and Kamara. Right now, that would be my way too early 2022 top five running backs because of the touch counts. And sure, you make a case on Austin Eckler, but like if you're asking me right now, I'd take... Depends on who's coaching Carolina and who's quarterbacking Carolina. I feel Matt Rhule is done. And I think they'll have a different quarterback next year also because Sam Darnold's nowhere to be found again. Matt Rhule is going through quarterbacks, and I think that owner just wants to go through head coaches until he gets a winner. Tyler Lockett popped up in the win against, the Texans. Lockett, 142 and a touchdown. Stafford had three touchdowns, 287 against Arizona on Monday night. Kittle was unstoppable. This was the Kittle that most of you love from fantasy purposes and Niner fans, obviously. Remember, Debo was limited. They used Debo more to run the ball rather than run pass routes and throw it to him. Kittle, 13 touches, 151 and a touchdown. Kamara, in his return against the Jets, 145 tandem yards, touched the ball 31 times. Jamar Chase got it going again, 77 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Joe Burrow, big game. Russell Wilson, Leonard Fournette has been been getting it done. Touched the ball 23 times, got a touchdown. Aaron Jones. Dylan did all the work on the first drive of the second half for Green Bay, and then Jones came in, got a touchdown. Then the Packers turned over the Bears immediately, and Jones scored on the very next play. Jones only touched the ball 8 times, scored 2 touchdowns. He can do that. And then Cooper Kupp was his normal self, 13 for 123 and 1 for the Rams. So let me review some averages the last 4 weeks just to see what pops up at various positions if you, for any reasons, have any lineup questions or situations this week. I'm going to start with quarterback because I benched Lamar Jackson in both leagues last week. I didn't play him in one of my leagues the week before. I played Taysom Hill instead. It worked out. Obviously, he got hurt last week. You cannot predict injuries. But and I plugged and played Cam Newton. It wasn't great, but it was better than what Lamar Jackson was able to produce because of the injury, or potentially as that game played out against the Browns, where he struggled a couple of weeks before, and Jackson's just had his problems the last month, and he hasn't scored a rushing touchdown since week two. So that's one example. I have quarterback questions. I'm in the playoffs in both leagues. I start the quarterfinals this week in the Foundation. I'm in the semifinals of the Podcast League. Jackson is injured. Right now, even if John Harbaugh called me personally and said, Todd, don't worry, Lamar's going to play, I still might not play him this week, just based on what's been going on the last month. This is why I say, and I've always said, out of respect for Matthew Berry, and yes, Matthew, I loved you in the Avengers Endgame, the whole don't get cute doesn't apply in the playoffs. Yeah, if you can make a strong case to not play a player and you have a better option, do it. Because we're one and done now. This is it. And my attitude towards Lamar Jackson should prove that to you. I was fully invested all year in Lamar Jackson. I used a third-round pick on him. He was the third quarterback off the board behind Mahomes and behind Allen. He was an MVP candidate for the first couple of months, and just over the last month or so, it's not been good. It's been tough to watch. The Ravens are falling. Something may be wrong with him, or defenses have figured him out. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to adjust. And every move I've made to replace him the last 2 weeks, all three have worked. And I'm still looking to make that move this week. I don't want to roll out Cam Newton this week. I think I can do better. So let's see, on average, the last 4 weeks, who are the best quarterbacks in fantasy football. Now, most of these guys are rostered, but the point being, and this is last 4 weeks of games played, Aaron Rodgers is number one. Yep, so much for the bad toe. In my scoring settings, last 4 weeks on average games played, Rodgers 1, Herbert 2, Murray 3, Taysom Hill 4, by the way. That is a smaller sample size because, you know, he's just started the last two games. Josh Allen 5. We have a Colt McCoy sighting in there. Yeah, throw that out. Stafford, then Brady, then Jalen Hurts, who has the bad ankles. Kirk Cousins has been a nice streaming option in recent weeks. What do I always say about the Vikings? They're not playing to compete for a Super Bowl title. They play fantasy football for us. Cousins does. Cook does. Madison does. Jefferson does. Thielen, you're hoping you get him back. KJ Osborne, we've talked about him a little bit this year. They play fantasy football for us. They're not a championship contender. Ben Roethlisberger's numbers, okay. But down the board, you know, barely in the top 10. Russell Wilson, then Tua, then Burrow, then I thought Jimmy G might be higher, but Jimmy G doesn't do anything for you running the ball. So that's why his numbers are down a bit. Step back for Heinicke last game, and also you have the injury status there. Justin Fields is becoming more interesting, But still, do you want to trust a bear other than, say, a David Montgomery, you know, with in your fantasy playoffs? I don't think I do. Let me go to running backs. Last 4 weeks, average per game. Big surprise, it's Jonathan Taylor coming off his bye week. Now, he does get the Patriots this week. No, you're not benching Jonathan Taylor, even though he's facing the Patriots. And that's the Saturday night game. But you just can't expect a huge game. You're hoping he gives you enough to be satisfied. Would you take 80 yards and a touchdown against the Pats? He's been averaging 30 the last four games played. Would you take half that? Because that might be what you get with the way Belichick has things going with the Pats and that defense. Cook is number two, but drops all the way down. I mean, Taylor's 10 points clear. Look, it's not like you're losing ground to other running backs. If Taylor only gives you 15 this week, that's essentially a top 10 running back on average the last 4 weeks. Dalvin Cook, over 20 points, his last four games played. Kamara, over 20 points, his last four games played. Kamara does get the Bucks. That shouldn't scare you. You're not sitting Kamara. You're not. Because of how much he's going to touch the ball, especially with Taysom Hill quarterbacking with a bad finger. Yeah, and it's not like there are any other real great targets for Taysom Hill to throw to. The Saints' offense is basically Hill and Kamara. That's it. Javonte Williams is RB4 last 4 weeks per game average. Then Fournette at 5, then Eckler, Connor, Eli Mitchell. He had to miss last game. At least as messed up as the Niner running game is, and I was fully invested this year, you know, I drafted Mostert, drafted Sermon. Boy, he disappeared. And then I picked up Eli Mitchell. Thank you, Adam Schefter, for the week one report on Fantasy Football Now, before the games were even played on Sunday, week one. When the Niners deactivate Mitchell, they're doing us all a favor. I know you're upset about it, because when they play him, he gets 20 touches. He gets 20 touches, and he's going to get you double-digit points. Keep checking status this week. Joe Mixon. Mixon, I don't think, scored this past week. First time since October 17th. 18 for 58. He did have the illness all week. But he got the backfield work. Cordarrelle Patterson right there. Still a top 10 running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's been good. Been good since he come back. Then Najee Harris's points are lower than I thought, but you still can't argue with the touch counts, and you're playing him. Finally, let me go to wide receiver, tight end, flex. Last 4 weeks, average per game played. Davante Adams 1, Justin Jefferson 2, Cooper Kupp 3, Debo 4, Kittle 5, Deontay Johnson 6. Tyler Lockett's bubbled up to 7. Elijah Moore, who didn't now on IR, 8. Jalen Waddle, 9. Van Jefferson. Yeah, when Woods hurt his knee, I picked up Jefferson right away, and there were reports, oh no, it'll be Beckham or somebody else that gets the work, and it didn't fly right away. But Jefferson has turned into the player I thought he might be in this offense without Robert Woods. Good for him. The pedigree is great, as you saw in the Monday night game. Dad played and is the receiver coach of the Cardinals. T. Higgins, just outside top 10 of wide receivers, last four games played. Beckham's been a double-digit guy, also for the Rams, so there's enough to go around there. Gronk's been a double-digit guy. Thielen, Renfro, Andrews. Evans' production is down. Godwin's production is down. Chase production is down. You're not taking them out of the lineup. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Season 6, Episode 53 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.